I want to read a verse out of Ephesians talking about the force of missions today, the importance of being missional or being missionally minded as the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Did you notice something in this verse? He did not call all to be apostles. He did not call all to be prophets or all to be evangelists or all to be pastors and teachers. Not all. Some. God calls some for particular tasks. And the task in the kingdom of God is greater than we are. The strength and the wisdom and the ability that is needed to carry out the call of God is way beyond our own abilities. So we need to keep that in mind. Now, many of us, we know about the annual Mission Fest that is happening here in Winnipeg every year at this time. And it is interesting to learn how much effort is being made to reach people in the various countries and tribes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think for the church, that is the priority, that is the area where we all need to pray for. We all need to try to be involved directly or indirectly with the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you look at our church budget, the way that we give in the church and how much goes to missions, of course, we could always do more. Some churches have budgeted something like 10% for missions, but I think ours is now at about 26% that is going to missions, and then also outreach here. Local outreach is not included in that part, so I think we can do better, although we have to do with what we have when it comes to finances. But also, I believe that more of us should be involved more than we are in the kingdom of God. Because there's always, in just about every church, there is 20% of the congregation does 80% of the work. And some have told me, well, that's actually more than that. But anyway, in some churches, they make it a requirement. If you want to become part of the church, you want to be a member of the church, they ask you to be involved somewhere. They will not accept you as a member unless you are using your gift that God has called you to practice, called you to do, and be responsible for something in the congregation or in the community, in outreach. And I think we can't do that, force people to be involved, but I think God is calling us to be involved. He doesn't force anyone. We can't force anyone, but God is calling us to be involved. Winston Churchill once said in 1940, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." So a lot of things are owed to so many, but only a few are the ones that give it. And that's true with missionary involvement too. When I think of the Church of God now, the English work and the German work, that means Anderson Church of God, and we have, many of you don't know, in Bolivia, the Anderson Church of God has little over 200 congregations in three languages, Spanish, and then Quechua and another language. And my good friend and former co-pastor in Odessa, who worked with me He is there, the director of missions right now. The Church of God worldwide has about 40 missionaries. Can you imagine? That's very few, right? That's a very, very small number. Now, the Church of God has over 2,000 congregations. So in essence, I would say the Church of God as a whole, if we have 2,000 congregations, guess what? We should have 2,000 missionaries, right? One missionary per church, that would be the rule. Maybe we should have it as a rule. Maybe we should say to churches, look, if you don't send out a missionary, if you don't finance a missionary, you can't be a church. We can't do that. But it is a desire, and this is why Jesus says, the harvest is ripe, and pray for the Lord of the harvest. Who's the Lord of the harvest? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest. And that is what is attempted to be done. Now, I just spoke of the Church of God. There are so many other outreaches that are being done in Africa, in Asia, in all the world. There are so many needs. There are needs everywhere. And here's the thing. The church is always in need of more money and more people. Always. And you may say, well, when does the church ever have enough? When everybody is reached with the gospel. Then it will be enough, and then the Lord will come, right? That's what the Bible says. So I would like to encourage us this morning to focus on this. In the New Testament, the missionary is described as evangelist, who carries the message of the gospel to the unevangelized areas, countries, and villages in the world. Eusebius was a 4th century church historian. He said, an evangelist, what they perform the office of evangelist, being filled with the desire to preach Christ to those who have not yet heard the word of faith. And when they lay the foundations of the faith in foreign places, they appointed others as pastors, while they themselves went on again to other countries and nations. That's what evangelists do, according to the Bible. They go and preach the gospel and then appoint pastors and teachers to disciple the new believers, and the evangelist moves on to bring the gospel to those that have never heard them before. And now every Christian, every believer, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you and I are compelled by the Great Commission to participate in evangelizing the world. But not every Christian is a missionary. Not every Christian is called to be an evangelist. We are to be called witnesses, and where we are supposed to let our light shine. We need to radiate some kind of influence that the society, our area where we live in, is better because we live there. And this is very important for us as a church. This area, North Caledonian, this whole area here should be better because we are here. And we need to pray for needs. The first thing we see here is, I want to refer to Acts chapter 13, as was read before. Evangelists are called by God. That is something you cannot fabricate. That's something you cannot replace. It is a call by and from God Himself. Now, in the church at Antioch, the Bible tells us there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. Saul was called also Paul later on, the Apostle Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Very interesting here. What is a missionary call? What does this call consist of? This is a very personal and very singular call. And we pray today that young people would offer themselves on the altar of God and would allow God, through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit, to call them. Now, I want to go into this call in a little in details because it's very important that we understand it. Because there's those that say, well, God told me to do this and this, and then nobody else agrees. Nobody feels that called with this person. And that is oftentimes frustrating, because if the person who says that they're called, if that's the only person that feels that, that senses that, and nobody else senses that, something is wrong. Because here, the body of Christ in Antioch was together. They prayed together, they worshiped together, they fasted together, and then together they heard the call, and this call was very specific. It was a singular call, and the Holy Spirit named the names. And he said, "Saul and Barnabas, you are called." And the Holy Spirit told the believers, the body of believers, to set Saul or Paul and Barnabas apart. And to release them, to let them go, to send them. It was the Holy Spirit that made himself very clear and understandable to the entire body of Christ that these two need to be released for the evangelistic call, the missionary call that the Holy Spirit has given them. It wasn't the church that called them. It was the Holy Spirit. So it was very specific. They were to be set apart for the work. For the work, for the task that was at hand, to spread the gospel to as many areas as possible. How wonderful. They were called to leave their ordinary occupations and devote themselves full time to preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, to those unbelievers, to those that had grown up and generations after generation had lived in idolatry and all kinds of darkness, spiritual darkness. They were to hear from these evangelists the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to call qualified men and women to the work of world missions. And we say qualified. What qualifies a missionary to be called by the Holy Spirit and then sent out by the church? Let's look at that. What do they do here? You know, these believers here, they did not sit around and play games and try to beat each other at chess games or whatever they could have played. They didn't sit there and entertain themselves and wait for God to call them and say, okay, now it's time, okay, pack up, leave your games, and go. They were serving the Lord. They were serving in the church at Antioch. The church, the body of Christ, was everything to them. In fact, it was so important that they started to worship and praise and they forgot to eat. They fasted and prayed and worshiped. They fasted and prayed and worshiped. And the Holy Spirit just could not contain himself any longer. He had to act, and he had to speak. I said he had to. It's kind of maybe an overstatement. No, he chose to acknowledge what these servants of the Lord were doing. These are ready. If you don't do that, if you don't worship with the church, if you don't serve in the church, if you are not there to pray with the church, to fast and pray together with the church, you will never qualify to be an evangelist. Forget it. And people think, well, that's not true. I can serve God all by myself. I can sit at home and wait for God to call me, and then when God calls me, I'll call the church, and they will send me, and off I go. No. That's not how it works. Those who serve in the church, they get the call. They get the call from God. And that's very important. God is looking for faithful young men and women to serve in the church in the capacity that he has placed them in. And some people say, well, there's nothing to do in the church. Have you ever thought that? There's nothing to do in the church. There's just, running, and there's nothing to do. Have you ever asked? Have you ever asked, how can I serve the Lord? Have you ever asked the Lord, how can I serve you in the church? Did you know that fasting and praying and worshiping is serving the Lord? And not alone. We can do that alone at home. And, with today's technology, you can put on worship music and you can crank it up and really worship the Lord at home, and that's fine. But they were worshiping together. They were together as a body of believers. They did not skip church services and prayer meetings. When there was a chance to pray together, when there was a chance to worship together, they were there. And their heart was in it. And that's the first qualification. This is why so few are being sent, because so few are faithful servants in the church, the local body of believers. That is the reason. God is looking for servants and not spectators. You can be a spectator in church all day long. You can be a spectator all your life and just sit in the back and just judge, I don't know about this person, I don't know about that person. God will never do anything through you then. A spectator cannot be used by God to be really making a difference. So if you desire God's call on you, serve and give and pray faithfully. Now, here's another thing. We can serve in the church, we can give, we can pray, we can pretend, but we have got to be spiritual. Our motivation of doing anything has to be our gratefulness to God, that we really want to serve the Lord. Here in verse 2, the last part says they fasted. They started to be serious about their faith. And when it comes to fasting and praying, loved ones, then things can start to happen. And oftentimes God tests our faith. Why isn't God doing more? Maybe we haven't fasted and prayed enough. I remember a young man. He grew up in a troubled home, Willie Zacharias, in Seminole, Texas. Actually, it was because of Willie's birth that we got connected to the family. And they had 8 children. The father had been very abusive, and he was later put in jail, and he could never see his family again. So the mother raised the 8 children by herself, and we as a church tried to help as much as possible. When the youngest, Willie, when he was 16 years old, he devoted time to fasting and praying for 3 days. He said to his mother, I'm not fasting for health, but to get closer to God and become filled with the Holy Spirit. Aren't you moved when a young man, when a young person prays for that? I'm fasting to be closer to God and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He, at that time, wanted to become a pastor, but he later died in a car crash. Isn't that interesting how God works sometimes? But God seeks those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who really, really desire not only to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but to also hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and listen to when He speaks to them. See, God spoke to these apostles, this body of believers here, because they wanted to know God's will. They didn't really care for each other's opinion. Maybe they had their arguments in the past, I don't know. But sometimes you have differences of opinion. They didn't focus on that. They didn't focus on one or the other's feelings. It wasn't about that. This was all about, we want to know God's will. We want to know God's purpose. We want to be so close to God that He can actually speak to us through the Holy Spirit. And that through fasting, worshiping, and praying. George Peters writes this, when the ear is closed, the mind preoccupied, and the will and purposes set, man is outside of hearing distance, and the call of God will never reach him. In other words, when we are so preoccupied, when we already have set our plans, when we already have made our plans, and we want to only execute, only see our own plans work out in life, then we are outside of hearing distance, and the call of God cannot reach us. Many people never receive a call from the Lord, not because the Lord is not calling, but simply because they are not within calling distance. They are out of reach. This really hit me. Am I out of reach of God's calling? Can God speak to me? Can God really impart His calling upon my life? Am I close enough to God to definitely hear and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to guide me so that I reach what God has for me? How can we prepare to hear God's call? And this is a very simple thing. And maybe you'll be disappointed when I give you this scripture. I don't know. I hope not. How can we prepare to hear God's call? Oh, we need to just crank up the worship music louder, then I'll hear God's call. No. We need to do something that is very personal, that is very sacred. And that's called the complete consecration of our bodies and life to God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I urge you, therefore. Now, if someone is urging us, it's not really a suggestion, is it? Paul doesn't say, I would suggest to you that you do this and this. No, he says, I urge you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. That is true worship. That's what these apostles, these men, this congregation here in Antioch did. They gave themselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice. They worshiped God in the spirit and in truth. That means they were willing to do anything and everything the Lord would tell them. Then verse 2, do not conform yourselves to this age or to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. So they made sure that no preconceived plans and preferences would hinder them in any way. They made themselves available to be used by God in the ministries of the church. As long as God had them there, and they were there for a while at Antioch, they didn't move, they didn't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit spoke. Then they were ready. So do not allow sin to dull your spiritual ear or dim your spiritual sight. But the Bible tells us that we need to walk in the Spirit. Walk in that anointing by the Holy Spirit, that you discern the will of God. And then obedience is so important. And then we need to make the habit, and this is the hard part, the habit of waiting on the Lord. That's what they did here. They waited on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We know this from Isaiah, right? They shall rise up and have new strengths. But then there's the second part that happened here in the text. I'll still touch on that briefly. In verse 3. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The laying on of hands by the church happened at the very last, before they left. It was not the first thing. They didn't get voted upon and then prayed and then fasted. They didn't get commissioned first and then they would see if it was God's will. They did this all in correct order. The Holy Spirit called them after they had faithfully served and fasted and prayed. And then he directed the church to set them apart for special service. So the church is God's body of believers, God's agency to send missionaries out into the world. But only those that have faithfully served, where the church has absolutely no doubt whatsoever that that person is sent by the Holy Spirit, and they have this assurance, and then they send them out. It also demonstrates the church's confidence in the evangelist. The church needs complete trust and confidence in the evangelist, knowing that this evangelist is a completely dedicated man or woman of God that has given their lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord. The church is very much aware of that. They see it. They see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. They see this person is certainly qualified, and they sense it in their holy, because they're filled with the Spirit, they sense it too in their spirit and say yes to God's will. It is very important that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit as a whole body of believers. That when God sends somebody, that there is absolutely no doubt in the pastor's mind or in the leader's mind, there should be no doubt, not even a shadow of doubt, knowing that this person is definitely sent by God. And that's what we need today. We need the Holy Spirit to speak. We need the Holy Spirit to say, set me apart, this and this person. And I'm praying for that. I will share in the business meeting, and you have to be there to hear the details about our pursuit of I call them mentee, but you don't know what a mentee is. But some of you think that's a breath freshener or something, you know, a mentor. That's not what we're talking about. A mentee is a trainer, a trainee that is being trained in the ministry to become a minister of the gospel, and we are praying for that. I'm not allowed to give the name of that person yet. I have not shared that name with any of you yet, but we are praying for that person, and we're asking that God will lead that person to our church here, and that what God will call that person, and the church can then say, the leadership can then say, yes, we recognize this call, and we say yes to it. Let's keep praying for that. May the Lord bless his word, and may the Lord send many a missionary. And you may say, well, I can never be a missionary, I can never be an evangelist. If God doesn't require that from you, be glad. But that doesn't leave you off the hook. You need to pray. We need to fast and pray. We need to be involved and say, we are a living body of Christ. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and want to see what God will do in this next generation. God bless you. Amen.